had an issue with my heart, and I was being checked out, and I was flying back from speaking right south of Corpus Christi, Texas, and I was in the hospital. My father, he called me, and he said, "I hear you're going to China." I said, "I am." He said, "Well, you can't make that trip." And I said, "Well, Daddy, I'm 52 years old, and I'm the president of Far East Baptist Missions, and I really need to make this trip." He says, "No, you can't make that trip." And I said, "Well, Daddy, you know, I've got to do this. You know, I've got to go." And he says, "Son, you don't know how it can be over there." He said, "I've been over there." He said, "They'll come out of an alley with a knife and they'll stick you right in the kidney." And I said, "Well, Dad, I'm going anyway." And he hung up on me and didn't speak to me till I got back from China, you know. And boy, I tell you what, you think you have some doozies for parents, let me tell you. And it's pretty bad when I'm in the hospital having a heart cath. I'm 52 and your daddy calls you and says you can't go, you know. All right. Look, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's a marvelous passage here. And I want to speak to you on, and I always give you the numbers so you know when we're getting close to being done, okay? But five demands to save some. Five demands to save some. Look at verse 19, 1 Corinthians 5, and I want to make some comments as we read. He says, Paul is speaking here, the Apostle Paul. He says, "For though I be free from all men," he wasn't a slave, he was a Roman citizen. He says, "Yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Paul had discovered that you get more out of life being a servant than you do being a chief. I'll be walking back from our Sunday school class, and it's amazing the little children. I was thinking about Thomas Childers and how he was holding the door for me, and the door, the wind was blowing. It's all he could do to hold the door. And I always stop and I say, "Look at you, what a servant of the Lord you are." And I say it just like that, "What a servant of the Lord you are." And I want our children to learn early on, the joy is in serving, not being waited on. And we see here, Paul said that I might gain the more. He made himself, although he's a free man, he made himself a servant unto all. Now, when he says all, he means all. Look at verse 20. He says, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew; to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law; to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law; and to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." Now here's a great proposition. "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do," why? "For the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you." Now, Paul was a great, great preacher, speaker, and he reached many people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think there's some practical things here that I want to share that I think has helped me reach a number of people for Christ. Matter of fact, I could just tell you story after story of people that I've had the blessing to lead to the Lord. One of the most recent stories was a couple who've come here. They're from Texas, and they were going to relocate here. And the pastor who they were associated with had resigned his church. And they said, "Well, what should we do if we move here?" And they said, "Well, you ought to go over to Brother Savage's church, meet him." And Rachel and I were here in the office, and we were getting some work done. And they came over, and they asked me some questions about the church. And then I asked them, "Well, let me ask you some questions. Do you know for sure if you were to die that you'd go to heaven?" And the lady, and these folks are up in age. The lady, I mean, they had to be at least 57. And the lady said, oh yes, I was saved as a young girl." And she talked about glowingly her salvation experience. But the man, he was like this. He had his hands like this, and she looked and she said, "Well, honey, are you going to tell him?" And he said, I can't tell him. I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. And I said, sir, can I take my Bible and show you how you can know? And I walked right around the corner and opened the Bible and led him to Jesus right there. What a wonderful thing that was. I think of some others. I think of a man named Shelley Robinson. Shelley Robinson. Now, that sounds like a sissy name, but he was Marine Recon. And he was no sissy. And he was, we were, it's Valentine Day. I was in there with a guest speaker. We were having a special time. And I was in there with a guest speaker. I was in a flower place getting flowers. I need to tell you where I was at, don't I? And we were getting flowers. And Shelley came in and he was drunk. And I mean, he was a functioning drunk, but he was drunk. And he looked at us. He looked at Brother Mark. Can't remember his name. Mark Brown. He's with the Lord now. He ended up being a missionary in Mexico. But Brother Mark Brown and myself, he came over and said, you guys are salesmen, aren't you? He said, I can spot you salesmen from a long way. I said, well, you know, what we have, we don't sell, but we do promote a product. And he said, really? I said, he said, what is it? And he was thinking Amway or Shackley. I said, no, no, it's much better than that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, I'd love to talk to you about it. He said, well, you can come by the house sometime. I said, well, I will. What's your address? Now, I don't know if you remember giving me his address or not, but he did. And I came over to his house, and I was in a beautiful home. I was sitting there in his living room, and Shelley came out, his wife, precious lady, she came out. And I said, I don't know how much you remember. He said, I remember very little, but I remember meeting you and your buddy in the flower shop. And we began to talk, and he started telling me stories about being Marine Recon. Started telling me these things. And I'm looking at him like, you know, you're not Rambo. You know, he's telling me these things. They wore plastic explosives around their waist and around their neck. Had beards out to here. They lived in the backyard of Charlie in Vietnam. They were right there in the Viet Cong area. He told me all these different stories I can't even repeat. I can't tell you. But he looked at me and thought, you don't believe me, do you? And I looked at him and I said, no, I don't. And he said, I'll be right back. And he came out and he had these huge family albums. And it was all of his 8-man team of recon. And everything, it showed him, he's wearing Levi blue jeans, a beard out to here. He looks like ZZ Tops up there. And he has plastic explosives. He's got a big gun on this tank. And he showed me some other things that have burned themselves in my mind. I wish I had never seen. And everything he said was true. He validated every bit of it. And then I looked at him and I said, Shelley, you know, I came by here to talk to you about the Lord. And began to talk to him. And he says, preacher, that's what I need. And I led him and his wife to the Lord Jesus Christ. I sat there on the couch and led him to Jesus. He got saved. His wife was standing there by the coffee table. And she was weeping. And she said, Brother Rick, this is what Shelley's needed for a long time. I said, what about you? Don't you need the Lord Jesus? She said, I sure do. She came over and sat by me and prayed too. Boy, two for the price of one. Amen. That was a blue light special from Kmart days. All right. I could tell you some other things as well. And I know many of you have salvation stories, but I believe these five demands to see, to save some, have helped me. And I think they should help you. Let me tell you what they are. Five demands to save some. Number one, dedication. Dedication to the Lord's work. Let me tell you something. This is God's work. This is not flipping burgers at some burger shop. This is God's work. And if you're going to do something for Jesus, you be dedicated to it. Teach your children dedication. If you're going to work on the bus ministry, be on the bus ministry. If you're going to go Saturday morning soul winning, go on Saturday morning soul winning. Don't be that Sunday morning Christian. Don't be that Sunday night Christian. Be dedicated to the Lord's work. Paul says it clearly in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, he says, I plead or beg you, therefore, brethren, he's speaking to the Christians, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He gives us the description of a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to show up here Saturday morning and go soul winning. It's not unreasonable to be back on Sunday night and Wednesday night service. That's not unreasonable. We see here, it says, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world and its rudiments form you, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We need to think like Jesus. How do we do that? By studying His Word. That's how we do that. So He says, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be dedicated to the Lord's work. Dedication. James says in chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Let me tell you something. You're submitted to something. There's something that you're submitted to. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isaiah 6, verse 8 says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Why not you? Why not send you? Why don't you say tonight, I'm going to be dedicated. I mean, I'm not going to be off and on, in and out, hot and cold. Man, I mean, I'm going to be dedicated. I'm going to do or die. I mean, I'm jumping all the way in. I'm not going to just give a portion of me. I'm going to be all the way there. I'm going to be dedicated to the work of God. And you'll save some because of a great dedication. Number two, let me say, discipline. Discipline is something that's needed in our life. I know one of the things they teach in boot camp is discipline. They're big on discipline in the Marine Corps, aren't they, Marine? They're all about that. And, live a disciplined lifestyle. What I mean by that is live for Christ every minute of every hour of every day. You know, don't put your Christian clothes on and come to church and then live your life the rest of the week the way you want to do it. Keep a pure life and keep a clean testimony. Be disciplined. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. A little farther than that. Paul says to Timothy in verse 9 of 2 Timothy 4, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me. He's left me alone. Paul is in prison here. If he ever needed somebody, if he ever needed Demas, it's now. You know, man, what's the Bible say in Proverbs that an unfaithful man's like a broken tooth? It's like smoke in your eyes. You know, and he says, Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. Now, I don't know what Demas told Paul why he was leaving him, but Paul knew why he was leaving him. He was a worldling. He loved this world, this present world. He says, he's departed into Thessalonica, Christian unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. He says, only Luke, the great physician, or not the great physician, but a physician, is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now remember John Mark? He and Paul and Barnabas had a big dispute over him. And Barnabas says, we're going to take John Mark with us on this mission journey. And Paul says, oh, no, he's a quitter. He quitted on it. See, he's a quitter. He's not going. And Barnabas, the great encourager, said, oh, I've been working with him. Man, Paul, you'd be proud of him. He's crossed the street. He's turned the corner. He's ready now. And he said, isn't he your cousin? Isn't he related? And then Barnabas says, Paul, when nobody else would have you, I had you. Well, nobody else, when everybody else was afraid of you, I was. And there's a big dispute that took place. Now, I have read a lot into that, I think. But I know human nature, how this goes. And there was a great prideful thing that took place here. And they separated themselves. But we see here, by the way, Barnabas was right. And we see the validation of Mark from the Apostle Paul, for he is profitable. He didn't say for ministry. He said to me. He's profitable to me for ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. He said, the cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. He wants the word of God, and he wants his coat. It's cold and damp in the prison cell. He wasn't at the Best Western. He was in prison when Demas left him. Then he warns him about this man, Alexander, who is, by the way, a Jew. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. By the way, that's a good way for us to not strike back at people, but just say, the Lord reward you accordingly to your works. You know, God, you get them for what they did. He said, Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil. He said, got to be careful. Alexander, he's not a good guy. You know, some people get uncomfortable when you name people. Like Joel Osteen, not a good guy. John Piper, not a good guy. Benny Hinn, not a good guy. I don't know the women preachers. Ben, you want to give them to me? And so, not a good person. And understand that he says, Alexander, he's a coppersmith. Now, what happened here, he was making much money making idols. What was the idol?
Diana,
yes, which was a vulgar, filthy idol, terrible, filthy idol. And he did the copper work, and there were silversmiths who worked on that. And what happens usually when you preach the Word of God and you get in people's pocketbook, that's when they really get upset. They don't get upset over abortion. They don't get upset over preaching against homosexuality. But you get in their pocket, you get in their hip pocket, now they got a problem with you. That was Alexander's. Look what it says in verse 15. Of whom be thou aware also, look, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He has been in opposition to the word that I have preached. Then he goes on and says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid at their charge. Notwithstanding, look at this, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen, if you're going to be used of God, you've got to have some discipline. There are people who are going to be against you. There are people who are going to speak against you. There are people who are going to be in opposition. There are people that when the chips are down, they're going to bail out on you. I know some pastors and they have deacons that would be understood to be yes men. I want you to know, we don't have one yes man as a deacon. Not one. And I don't want one. I don't want a deacon that's a yes man. Because I'll tell you, when the ship has a hole in it and it begins to take on water, the yes men are the first ones that abandon ship. But you have leaders that are surrounding you. They are independent thinkers, and they are there through the tough times and through the rough times and through the good times. Be disciplined in your spiritual walk. Your walk with God should be disciplined. You should be militant in your walk with God. Be disciplined in your physical walk. Try to stay in good shape, good health, to be able to do God's work. Be disciplined in your mental walk. Think the right things. Be careful what you view. Be careful what you read. Be careful to take in the philosophy of this world and the rudiments of this world and allowing them. Listen, the world has gotten more evil than ever. I don't watch it, but I heard on the news that, like at the award services, I don't know if it's the Grammy or what it is, they sang songs about adultery. They had devils come out. They had demons. They had fire. Just recently, Disney had a cartoon come out. How many know what I'm talking about? A cartoon that has come out, and it's about a woman who's had a relationship with Satan that has an Antichrist daughter, and how the devil's not such a bad guy, and hell's not that much of a bad place after all. On Disney, and this cartoon, it's animated. Let me tell you something. This world and the evilness is coming after your family, coming after your church, and you better be disciplined to walk a spiritual walk, a physical walk, and a mental walk, and watch your attitude. Be disciplined in your attitude. Our attitude gets us in trouble. It's gotten me in trouble. I've had an attitude every once in a while in my life. It never did work out well for me. And then I want to say this. Be disciplined. If you're going to be a leader and reach the people, listen to me. You may feel like this doesn't fit, but it does. But be disciplined in your hygiene, in your appearance. I had a pastor friend. This is a good man. I'll tell you what, he was as solid as can be in the Bible. But he never learned any hygiene. He had what I call cracker teeth. You know what I'm talking about? You eat crackers and see how they kind of build up around the gums. You know, he would always wear a suit. I don't always wear a suit. He would always wear a suit, but it was stained and it was soil. He smelled, and it wasn't like a, you know, Brute Cologne 33. You know, it wasn't a good smell. And I wanted to talk to him about it. And, you know, but I want you to know, if you're, can I tell you, I learned a long time ago, you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. And that's concerning to me because I'm a weirdo magnet sometimes. And that's why some of you are here tonight. You're a weirdo. And, but understand, discipline yourself, have discipline. Be sure to make your life count for the kingdom of God. Discipline yourself. The Bible says in our text, he says in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's not shadow boxing. He's going to make connection. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. Man, I don't want to be a castaway. I want to be used of the Lord. And to do that, we must be dedicated and we must have discipline. Number three, denial. Denial. In Galatians 2, verse 20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Paul speaks, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, denial must be there. You've got to repel some things. And if you're going to work for God, if you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to have a, you know, you've got to be able to repel some things. I had an old preacher when I was a young preacher. I was probably 17 or 18. And this was an old preacher. I remember him well. His name was John. I think he was 42. And he was ancient to me, and he said, son, if you're going to be in the ministry, you better have the height of a rhinoceros. You better be able to be tough to take some things. And let me tell you, denial, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. A dead man doesn't get offended. You can walk up to a casket, and you can tell the dead man, your tie's crooked. You can say, you know, you have the same ugly face that you had when you were alive. He's not going to come out of the casket. He's dead. And I want you to know when we are crucified with Christ, we are dead. And we don't focus on those things. Matthew 16, verse 24, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Understand 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Paul says, I die daily. Now, let me tell you, listen to me. Die. If you're going to be used of God, denial. Die to yourself. Die to criticism. Oh, man, there's a critic. Whoever has a keyboard can be a critic today. And die to praise. Evangelist Tom Williams said, when you are praised, before you take seven steps, dismiss it. So if you're going to save some, five demands to save some, dedication, discipline, denial, number four is diligence. Be diligent at what you're doing. Be diligent in many things, but especially be diligent about the Word of God. I know that God instilled in me a great love for His Word as a teenager. And when God began to deal with me to preach, and when I surrendered to preach when I was 16, you've heard me tell the story, and I have the book, I think it's on my shelf in my office, the Zondervan Topical Bible, and I would read that Bible at midnight and 1 o'clock and sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd read that Bible. I want to know what God had to say. And, you know, you need to be diligent, especially with the Word of God. We're reminded by Paul in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study. The word study means give diligence. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, be a workman of the Scriptures, needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, people do not repent. People do not get saved by accident. Continue to pursue the lost. Be diligent. Go back, go back, go back, go back. Don't quit until the sinner tells you, don't ever come back to my doorstep. And until they tell you, until they trust Christ. There was a man when I was an associate pastor in Memphis. His name was Ron Brassfield. And Ron, he had a lot of different businesses, had a beautiful home. And I was knocking on doors and met him. His wife was named Meg, and they were not saved. And I knocked on his door and I asked him to come to the church. And they did, just like some of you good folks have tonight. He heard the gospel, but left unsaved. And I went by the house. I went by the house. I went by the house. If I was driving, he had a very nice car. It's an unusual car. And if I saw it at the grocery store, I put a church brochure in the windshield wiper. If I was driving in, I saw him in a parking lot somewhere, I'd flag him and talk to him. Wherever I saw his car, I'd stick a gospel tract in the windshield wiper blade. I did that for forever. And they finally came, and both of them, he and her both, rejoicingly received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, listen, be diligent. Continue to pursue people. Just because they say no. Can I tell you, people normally don't mean it when they say no. I learned when I was in sales, they don't mean it when they say no. It's like the lady who was approached, and the man said, "Lady, listen, I got an elephant for sale for $500. And she said, no, I don't want it. He said, "But lady, it's only $500. And she said, "I don't have a place for an elephant." And she said, "Lady, it's a great deal, $500. She said, "I don't want it, no." And he said, "I'll give you two elephants for $500. She said, "I'll take both of them." You know, I can't pass up a deal like that. I laugh at my own jokes. That's pretty bad, but I just did. That's just funny. Ladies, don't take that hard. Some of you look like you're offended. You know, let me go back to denial. Deny yourself, okay? Die to yourself. Die to criticism. Okay, do that. Now, listen, lastly, delight. Delight in God's service. If you're in the choir, love it. If you drive a bus, love it. You know, whatever you do, love what you're doing for Him. Delight in the will of God. Delight in God's service. In Psalms 84, verse 10, the Bible says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand." He says, "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Can I tell you this? There's no menial task in God's service. Some of you would remember this. It was on the front cover of Time magazine years ago. It might have been 1980 or 85. I'm not sure. You can Google it and find it. But it shows a commercial jet landing in Hawaii, and the fuselage all the way down, about halfway down, is off of it, and you see people strapped in their seats, and talk about a convertible, you know, and their hair's blowing, and they're holding on. One of the stewardesses was blown out of the plane, and the pilot so carefully and skillfully landed that plane, and people got off that plane, and they, don't you know, man, I tell you one thing, if I wasn't close to God before that trip, I would be close to God after that trip. And they got off that plane, and they talked about how hair-raising it was, and how there was an explosion, and it just peeled back the plane, and they came in and landed, and they were thinking pilot error, and they did all the checking, and it wasn't the pilot at all, but one of the crew members who loaded the luggage. There was a safety hatch that needed to be latched. It was not properly latched, and it caused some type of a suction problem that caused that explosion to take place. You know, you always want to think, man, I want to be the pilot. I want to be the co-pilot. I want to be the big chief. Can I tell you something? In God's work, there's no menial task there's no small thing. And here's a guy who is out there loading baggage. But let me tell you, he's got a very important job. And we may not think that, but we it was proven to us. Let me finish by saying this. Our service of saving some, it's a heart issue. He tells us in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself. Let me encourage you to delight yourself. Love the Lord. Love what you do. Do these things. If you're going to see some saved, you need to have dedication. You need to be disciplined. You need to deny yourself, criticism, praise. Be diligent in what you're doing. Follow through and delight what you're doing. I want to tell you, this morning I got up and I thought, man, I get to preach the Word of God this morning. I was delighting in my text this morning. I was so excited about it that I preached half the message in my Sunday school meeting. And plus, Brother Crook probably needed to hear it twice anyway. But these are some things. Now, Paul says, that I might by all means save some, verse 22. And he says this, and this I do. He tells us why. Why he's a Jew to the Jews, and why he's the law to the law, and why he's without the law to those who are without the law, why he's the weak to the weak, and why he's all things to all men. This is why he does, verse 23. He says, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Let me tell you something. The gospel's a big deal, and that's why we should do these things. Now, has there been a time in your life that you've had a spiritual awakening and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you know heaven's your home? If not, you need to get that settled. Let's bow our heads together.